We have all kinds of people in this room tonight, in all different areas of life, walks of life, phases of life. We have people in here who feel like maybe you're just hanging on by a thread. I don't know if I can make it through another day, but I'm going to try. We have people here who are, man, life couldn't be any better. I mean, life is so good, I'm afraid to keep talking about it. We have people here who just kind of like, meh, I'll come to church tonight because it's Good Friday. But the one thing that we all have in common is Jesus. Amen. There's people in this room that, for me, I never in a million years thought I would have in my life. People here in this room that I would trust with my life. And some that I would be like, no, just let me go. Right? But I'm being serious. And the reason for that is one person. Jesus. Jesus is the common thread that every single one of us in this room have in common. It's Jesus. And for people in the world that don't have Jesus, they don't have that. They might have a family of friends, but that's often conditional, right? And it's not eternal. All of us have Jesus in common. So, I don't know. I just throw that out there. That's what I was thinking about in that last song. And I'm grateful and I'm thankful to be in this church and with this body of believers, people who I call my family. Amen? So, you know, I've often wondered, why do we call today Good Friday? The reasons that Christians observe this day really don't seem like it was a good day. I mean, think about it. People were confused. A best friend was killed. A son was buried. Hope was lost. The worst of it, all experienced by Jesus. He was arrested, unjustly accused, deprived of sleep, water, food. He's questioned, beaten, spit upon. They scourged him with a lead-tip whip. They mocked him. They put a crown of thorns on his head and led him away to be crucified. And yet we call today Good Friday. Not really a good day that we're reflecting and remembering and observing. Unless we understand the benefits of what actually took place on this day 2,000 years ago. The benefits we gain when we put our faith in Jesus. Hebrews chapter 12 tells us to keep our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame. Now he is seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. Think of all the hostility he endured from sinful people, then you won't get weary and give up. Yeah. These are things that I think about sometimes. When we sing a song where we just repeat the name of Jesus over and over again, this kind of stuff comes to mind. What he did for me gives me the strength to go and to make it through another day. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross. That sentence is heavy when you think about it. See, Jesus understood that the result of his mission would lead to millions upon millions upon millions upon millions of people putting their faith in him, trusting in him to see them through life. Trusting in Him and relying on Him for the help with the endurance that they need, that can only come from the one we call the Savior of the world. That can only come from putting our faith in Jesus. As we continue our Easter, I'm calling it our Easter series. It's titled, He Did It All For Us. We started it last week, Palm Sunday. Today will be part two, and then Easter morning will be part three. Tonight, what we're going to do is we're going to look at three benefits that mankind has the access to the moment we reach out to Jesus. These benefits would not be available if Jesus had not allowed Himself to suffer the shame of the cross. And then on Sunday morning, Easter morning, as we celebrate the resurrection, we will look at the benefits we gain because of the resurrection, because of the power of God that raised Jesus back to life. So the first benefit, though, tonight that we'll look at is forgiveness. Forgiveness of everything that we have ever done. Now, if you were here this past Sunday, we looked at that. Tonight, we're going to look at the topic of forgiveness in perspective to the cross. How do we reap the benefits of forgiveness for what Jesus did on the cross? See, there is joy with Jesus when we understand the fullness of forgiveness. It means that we can go through life with a clear conscience. That we are no longer carrying around the guilt and the shame of our sinful nature. No more regret, no more remorse. That we can live with peace, that we can live in peace and with contentment. Colossians chapter 2 tells us that Jesus canceled the record of the charges against us and took it away by nailing it to the cross. I remember one time, years and years ago, we had a big wooden cross up here, and we had this thing where we wrote down, you know, just sins, and then we came up here and there was a hammer and we got to pound the cross. All of our sins were nailed to the cross with Jesus. Not just the physical, painful implications that Jesus endured while He was on the cross. Think of the spiritual implications. Every sin done by mankind. There's some pretty bad stuff out there. He took it upon Himself. Jesus did it all for us. By enduring the cross, He paid for every wrong we would do. Every bad word, every bad thought, every bad deed, every offense, every action, all totally forgiven. Jesus paid the price for our penalty so that we could find freedom in Him. Ephesians chapter 1 tells us that He is so rich in kindness and grace, speaking of God, that He purchased our freedom with the blood of His Son and forgave us our sins. This is the one night where we can kind of go down this theological road of what exactly took place on the cross. It is in this freedom and total forgiveness that we are found right with God. Now, if you're not a believer, that doesn't really mean much. But if you're a believer, to be found right with God, whew, that's a good deal. That means that we can stand before God Almighty with a clear conscience. Sometimes I think it's a little arrogant to say that, but it's what the Bible tells us. So if I can't believe that, then I can't walk in that. There will be a day when we, as followers of Jesus, can stand before God Almighty with a clear conscience. Romans chapter 4 tells us that Jesus was handed over to die because of our sins. And he was raised to life to make us right with God, to be in right standing with God. You know, it really doesn't make sense until we understand it, until we experience it. But if we got what we deserved due to our sinful nature, we would not inherit eternal life in heaven. But instead, Jesus endured the cross so we could stand before God unashamed. Now that's forgiveness. That's the first benefit we're going to look at. The second one is this. The second benefit of tonight's, because of the cross, is the healing power of Jesus. Now, if you were here last Sunday, there's a lot of needs with each of us. A lot of spiritual needs, a lot of physical needs, a lot of needs. It just kind of opened my eyes to, like, we come to church and we smile and we say we're doing good, but most of us, if we're being honest, probably aren't. We're hurting. We're human beings. We have things that happen to us throughout the week, things that happen in our lives, and we're hurting. And we know that if we come to church, maybe I can give some of it to God. Maybe some of it will wash away. We all need healing in different areas of our lives from time to time. Especially the hurts and the deep wounds we carry that nobody sees. Some of us are really good at covering them up. Those hidden wounds that we stuff deep down inside. We can often visibly see when somebody needs healed. Maybe they have a limp or they're hurting or they're aching and moaning a little bit, you know. But these wounds that I'm talking about are the ones that stay hidden. These are the ones that we try not to remember. These are the ones that we try not to think about. We try not to talk about. But Jesus sees them. He knows about them. And not only did he allow himself to be nailed to the cross for the forgiveness of our sins, but also to bring healing in every area of our lives. Every area of our lives. Especially the deepest wounds that go unnoticed. 1 Peter chapter 2 tells us that Jesus personally carried our sins in his body on the cross so that we could be dead to sin and live for what is right. By his wounds you are healed. Amen. He's quoting Isaiah here. But this verse alone has some weight to it that would do us well to gain some understanding of it. When you read Peter's two letters, Peter was pretty deep theologically. But like, this tells me that not only am I forgiven of everything, but every wound that Jesus took upon himself was for our healing, so that he could heal us, so that our bodies would become whole and well. So we can find freedom in Jesus because he personally took our sins upon himself. And in this, freedom is healing. Our wounds are healed. Sometimes I think we forget about that part. Because we don't want anybody to know we're hurting. But Jesus knows. And sometimes we need to talk to somebody else to get it out, right? And healing comes as a result of that. Isaiah chapter 53 says this, Jesus was pierced for our rebellion, crushed for our sins. He was beaten so we could be made whole. He was whipped so we could be healed. He allowed himself to go through all of that for us. Did he know that thousands of years from then, we would still need the cross? We would still need him. See, what Jesus did on the cross is what is called redemptive suffering. Redemptive suffering is when a person suffers not because they deserve it, but it's when a person suffers on the behalf of somebody else. Redemptive suffering is taking on someone else's pain so they don't have to carry it. This is what Jesus did for us on the cross. So let's unpack that for a second. See, when God created the world, there was no suffering in it at all. No sadness, no sickness, no pain, no death, no disease, no destruction, nothing bad, not even poison ivy. It was a perfect paradise. It was the Garden of Eden, where mankind walked with God. Mankind being Adam and Eve. But then they rebelled against God. They broke the trust and they did things their way instead of following the plan God had for them. Does that sound familiar? Mankind broke the system. The perfect system that was set up. And because of that, sin entered the world. And now, everything about this world we live in is broken, corrupt, dying. We have sin, bad things, sickness, suffering. World systems are broken. Politics, economy, even the weather seems a little out of whack. Even mankind's relationship with their Creator is broken. And this is where the need for healing and restoration comes in at. This is why God sent His Son, Jesus, into the world to restore all that is broken. Starting with our relationship with God. Now, I'm not too sure exactly how this transpired. Like we have a saying in our house, nothing, just, we caught us off guard, doesn't catch God off guard. But how did that conversation go with like God, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit? You know, somebody's going to have to do this. You know, the Holy Spirit was like, Jesus said, I'll go. Knowing the end result of his mission would be, knowing what it would be here on earth, he took it upon himself. In Matthew chapter 9, it says, Jesus traveled throughout all the towns and villages of that area, teaching in the synagogues and announcing the good news about the kingdom. And he healed every kind of disease and illness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were confused and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Jesus taught on the kingdom of God, announced the good news about the kingdom, and healed every kind of disease and illness. See, This little passage right here tells me is that Christianity is a teaching, preaching, and healing faith. God isn't just concerned with the end result of getting us to heaven. He's concerned about our well-being. He's concerned about every facet of our lives here on this earth. From now until the time when Jesus returns and sets up his kingdom to rule and reign here on earth, when we will once again be in paradise. God understands our every need, but there's a part of this equation that causes a little tension. Not every prayer gets answered this side of heaven. Not every prayer gets answered. I have questions about that one. But the more we can put ourselves in a place of contentment, the better off we'll be. One day, every hidden hurt will be healed. No more sorrow and no more pain. And we will forever live in a perfect setting, just as God himself promises in his word. But for now, we must understand. If you struggle with, why aren't my prayers being answered? Why are bad things happening to some of the best people I know? Romans chapter 8 is a good chapter to study. And I pulled some verses out that we'll look at. Romans 8, verse 21. The creation, all creation, looks forward to the day when it will join God's children in glorious freedom from death and decay. So, all creation, all the birds, the trees, the grass, the animals, the sun, the moon, the stars, all of creation knows that as each day goes by, the world is decaying. And something about all creation says, one day, we will join God, we will join God's children in glorious freedom from death and decay. Think about that. One day, when Jesus returns to set up his kingdom here on earth, all the trees and all the everything out there, the animals and the all of it, we will live in perfect harmony together. In Romans 8, 23, and we believers also groan. Even though we have the Holy Spirit within us as a foretaste of future glory, for we long for our bodies to be released from sin and suffering. We too, along with all creation, wait with eager hope for the day when God will give us our full rights as his adopted children, including the new bodies he has promised us. See? This is hope. This is hope that isn't just grasping at something. This is concrete. This is hope that is wrapped in truth. Like, this isn't going to change. And then in verse 26, and the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. How about that? Those days when we don't feel like we can go on any longer. Life has just thrown us so much. I don't want to do this. I don't want to go to work. I can't take this. The Holy Spirit helps us in those days. The same power of God that raised Jesus from the dead, we'll talk about on Sunday, is the same Holy Spirit that lives inside of each one of us. And he is here to help us in our weakness. And if you're not feeling it, you take Romans 8, verse 26 and say, God, I'm not feeling it. I need something to help me here. See, even when we do not have an answer to our pain, our need for inner healing that isn't taking place, we have the Holy Spirit that will help get us through all of that. At the very least, the Holy Spirit will help us find peace and contentment. I knew this guy. I did ministry once years and years ago with the Salvation Army. And he was a little older guy. Boy, he loved people. He loved helping. I mean, he had the heart of Jesus. Well, one day he got cancer. I'm like, gosh, man, why this guy? You know? I would go visit him. While he's laying in the hospital bed dying, he's telling each person, nurse, doctor that comes into his room about Jesus. And he said it with, wow, man, with the greatest of hope. Like, even I felt better sitting there with him. Hey, his take on it was this: if Jesus wants to heal me right now, I'll take it. If he doesn't, that's fine too, because I will get my healing in heaven. That was peace and contentment on full display, the kingdom of God, the Holy Spirit with this man in his hour of weakness. Funny story is, I went to go visit him one night, and he says, he called me, he says, Pastor Chip, they thought I was going to die last night. I said, well, I mean, you're here. I said, what happened? He goes, well, they didn't have anybody clergy here, so they sent in a rabbi. I said, really? How'd that go? He goes, well, I told him all about Jesus. I mean, that just, you know, whenever I think, like, I always think about him. Amen. But often, though, church, in our moment of weakness, in our moment of, I don't know if I can do this anymore, in our moment of, where is my healing, oh God? When we can find peace and contentment in those moments and rely on the Holy Spirit to help us in our weakness, often that's exactly what is needed to move into an area of wellness. So that's number two. The third, but not the final, benefit of the cross. In my studies for this, I came across somebody who said they did a study on this, and they found 60 benefits that we gain from Jesus being nailed to the cross. So we got 58 more to go. We'll just do three. Yeah. But the third one is this. The third benefit of the cross is the power to break free from controlling forces. Now, that's a big one that I think often goes unchecked. Now, I go to the Amazon region in Brazil every year. They understand spiritual forces. We go to Haiti. Steve Fitter goes to Haiti. They understand, you know. How often, though, are we controlled by other forces and we're not even aware of it? Like, for instance, our mood. How often do we let our mood or our current situation control how we act and react with others? How often do we allow the approval of other people to control us? We let our past control us. We let money control us. Addictions control us. Culture controls us. And yes, sometimes evil spirits control us. So how do we break free from this? Well, the first thing is we must understand that there will always be a competing force within ourselves with our sinful nature and God's Holy Spirit that lives within us the moment we invite Jesus into our lives. That is the tension that every Christian has to deal with and fight. God's Holy Spirit, our sinful nature. That is always going to be there. Galatians chapter 2 says this. This is the Apostle Paul speaking to the church in Galatia. He says, my old self has been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. So I live in this earthly body by trusting in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Romans 8, verse 11. The Spirit of God, who raised Jesus from the dead, lives in you. And just as God raised Christ Jesus from the dead, he will give life to your mortal bodies by the same Spirit living within you. We have the power of the Holy Spirit to knock down any controlling force that seems to have its grip on us. But this is the tension that we live in, right? We are drawn to things that we know we shouldn't be drawn to. We succumb to things we know we shouldn't succumb to. But yet, our sinful nature has been crucified with Christ, nailed to the cross. He took all of that upon himself. And then there it is again, rearing its ugly head at the most inopportune times. I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have done that. I shouldn't have reacted like that. I shouldn't have got caught up in this. At the same time, though, the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, lives in us, giving us life, giving us hope, giving us endurance, giving us the determination to fight the daily battle with our sinful nature. The same power of God's Holy Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead 3 days from now lives within every person who calls upon the name of Jesus. Every one of us have access to that same power of God. So how do we fight this battle, though? How do we overcome being controlled by other forces, especially our sinful nature? Well, in Romans chapter 6, we know that our old sinful selves were crucified with Christ so that sin might lose its power in our lives. We are no longer slaves to sin, for when we died with Christ, we were set free from the power of sin. So what this tells me is that by giving it all to Jesus, dying to ourselves daily, laying it all down at the foot of the cross, is where total freedom in Christ can be found. Now, the thing about that is it's not a one and done thing. We have to do it every day. Some of us more than others. Some of us are we've gotten pretty good at this, and we're like, well, the moment you think you're that good at it, be careful. But some of us struggle. And then we beat ourselves up. And we don't understand why we can't overcome these things. You know what? Here's what I say. Are you trying? Yes. Good for you. Keep trying, because it will get easier. Remember, we have an enemy out there. There are evil spirits out there that want you to be feeling guilty, to be feeling condemned, to be feeling bad, to be feeling non-victorious. But church, it gets easier the more we do it. The more we lay stuff down at the foot of the cross. For me, Jesus radically saved my life. Amen. And I said, you know what? You saved my life. I'm not going back. I'm not going back. Nothing can drag me back. And I had to fight. But I did. And you can do the same. We all can do the same. So these are just three of the many benefits we gain from what Jesus did on the cross for us. How do we gain total forgiveness? How do we get the healing, the deep inner healing we so desire? And how do we gain freedom from the controlling forces in our life? By faith. It all starts with faith. Faith that Jesus died on the cross while we were still sinners. And then trusting in his word. Trusting in the promises we are given in the Bible. John chapter 1 tells us this: but to all who believed in him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. They are reborn, not from a physical birth resulting from human passion or plan, but a birth that comes from God. If you're here tonight and you struggle in these areas, maybe you struggle in the area of forgiveness, maybe you're struggling in the area of healing, or just you're holding on to something, or you're just really good at keeping it hidden. Or maybe there's these controlling stuff going on in your life that you just wish wasn't happening. What I want to do is I want to give you an opportunity to allow God's Holy Spirit to enter into that part of your life tonight. Maybe you're here and you're like, you know what? I haven't actually accepted Jesus. Here's the thing. Acts chapter 3, verse 19 tells us to repent of our sins and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped away. You know, this is a daily thing, right? When I first got saved, I would go to bed and I would say, God, please forgive me of the sins I wasn't even aware of, because I just didn't want anything hanging over my head. Believing that Jesus is the Son of God and that he died for our sins, repenting of those sins brings total forgiveness and wholeness to our bodies. And this right here is the greatest benefit of the cross. It's called salvation. A person turning to God and receiving the right to be called a child of God. You know what that tells me? That in the throne room of God, there's a book that has everybody's names in it. And there are some who don't deserve that right to be called children of God because they have not accepted Jesus into their lives. The Bible says that when we accept what Jesus did for us on the cross, we become friends with God. Friends with God. What I want to do here is I want to give us an opportunity. Maybe you're here tonight and you're thinking, you know, I haven't been a real good friend to God. As a matter of fact, if he were my friend, I wouldn't be happy. Maybe you're here tonight and you struggle with the area of forgiveness. Maybe it's just like, I don't deserve to be forgiven. Or maybe it's as simple as like, I just don't get it. There are some things that I'm just not too sure. Or maybe you're holding on to something because you don't think the other person deserves your forgiveness. Or maybe you're here tonight because you're just hurting. Physical, maybe mental, maybe even spiritual pain. Maybe there's things in your life that you haven't talked about in years because you know better to go down that road. It brings up stuff. And then maybe you're here tonight because you got things controlling you. Maybe it's anger. Maybe it's sadness. Maybe it's evil spirits, and you know that, because you know you ought not be doing the things you're doing. And you just want to better yourself. So what I want to do here is just something very simple. I'm going to start off with this one, and I'm going to ask you to raise your hand, and then we'll just all join together. But if you're here tonight and you struggle with this friend of God thing. Maybe it's salvation, or maybe it's just, you know, I think I can be a better person to God. I want to give you that opportunity to be vulnerable. But listen, this is a church, this is your church family. And this is an opportunity where I believe God is saying, here's what he's saying, don't you dare not raise your hand, because I want to be with you. Because we're going to head into a time of worship after this, and I believe God's going to meet you like he's never met you before. So for that first...